Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for the church in Toronto.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for all the churches.
Amen.
For the one body of Christ.
Amen.
Well, this weekend we've been really enjoying time together with the college age and going over a matter. I don't know if you got one of these or if you got an outline for this morning. If you didn't, maybe you could share with some who did, but we've been going over this topic called the vision of the church. So maybe before we start, we'll read a few verses together. If you could get your Bible out, we'll turn to Ephesians. And we'll read Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll read verses 11 through 16. Maybe the brothers could start in every other verse. Okay, brothers and sisters, Ephesians. Maybe we'll wait till everybody gets it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. Okay, brothers, let's start. Praise the Lord. Well, this weekend we've been considering what is on God's heart. And we know that in the book of Ephesians tells us clearly that God has an eternal purpose. And His purpose is not just to save individual believers, but He is doing a great work in order that He might gain the church. And the church is expressed in many different ways. But He needs a group of people on the earth who, number one, see this vision and then build according to the vision that they see. So the Lord desires to build the church. Right? Even when the Lord came, He asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And Peter, he received revelation. And Peter said, "Lord, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the Lord said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but My Father who is in the heavens." So this weekend we saw that in order to see what is on God's heart, this requires revelation. Right? This is not something natural, not something you can take as a course in school and study or try to come up with on your own. This is not a flesh and blood. We need to pray, like the Apostle Paul said, we need to pray that the Lord would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And if we think, "Oh yeah, I see the church, I understand, Paul talked about it, and God's goal is the church, and it's a kind of a humdrum matter to us," then most likely we don't really see. Or maybe we did see, but our vision is not too fresh. Right? I think maybe many of the older saints know that if you got a pair of glasses for a while, you need an update, right? You need a refreshing. And so every so often you have to go to the doctor and get your eyes checked again, right? How is your vision? Right? So maybe some of us who've been in the church for a while, we should consider, how is our vision? Are we clear? What is on God's heart? You know, I had a professor once tell me, or tell a class, he said, if you don't know what the goal is, right, let's say if the goal is here, then it's pretty clear. You just take the straight path, go toward the goal. But if you don't know where the goal is, you might think it's up here or it's over here, then you're going to be taking all kinds of different ways because you're not clear. But if you're clear what is the goal, then the way you take it matters. Okay, so we want to consider again, maybe some of you are here for the first time this weekend, newer to the church life. Maybe you've never fellowshipped about this before. And I told the saints the other night that I also had a first time when I began to see something concerning what was on God's heart according to His good pleasure. And with the seeing comes a response. We not only want to see something, but we want to take action. Right? We like to respond to what we see. Paul said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. He saw something and he lived according to what he saw. And he served according to what he saw. Right? So the first time I saw that the Lord desires to build a church. Maybe I wasn't all that clear, but I saw a little glimpse. And hopefully, over the time, my eyes, actually, spiritually speaking, have gotten better. Right? More clear. Our vision shouldn't dim. It should increase. We're not in the old creation. We're in the new creation. So our vision should become fresher. Should become more sharp, right? We know what we're here for. The Lord is building the church, but we need to respond to what the Lord shows us. And the way we respond is by consecrating ourselves. And we might think it's not that important if I do this or not, but it's very important. The very first time I responded, I just stood up. I don't even know if I was that clear what I was saying. I said, Lord, I give myself to you for Christ and for the church. Okay, I believe the Lord heard that prayer. And the Lord has kept me away. Stand with Him and carrying out His purpose. So we need not to be what we talked about the other night. One of the worst cases that we could be in the church life is to be indifferent. And we read some portions from the ministry where Witness Lee said, some believers don't care. They care about their spirituality. They care about overcoming. They care about being victorious. They might be very zealous for their work, but they don't care for what is on God's heart. God's heart is He desires a builded church. He desires to prepare a bride, to build up the body of Christ, to bring in His kingdom on the earth. But who cares? And so sometimes, even among us in the church life, well, I guess that's why I'm here. Right, we should know why we're here. We should give ourselves, consecrate ourselves to the Lord for His purpose. But we saw as the weekend went on, God's purpose is to express Himself through many sons. So the Lord needs to grow in us to bring us on unto full sonship. And He wants to not only grow in us as believers, but He wants to shame His enemy. He is expressed, when Christ is expressed through the church, the enemy is put to shame. Right? So we know in Genesis, talks about those two things. Image is expression. and dominion is to deal with the enemy, right? So in this universe, the Lord desires the church filled with many mature sons who express Him, right? And who also have dominion, who shame His enemy. And in this process, He heads up all things in Christ. So today at the breakfast table, we're talking about all the things going on in the world, all the terrible things in the news. And seems like, actually, in one sense, terrible things. On the other hand, you have to say, the Lord is getting ready. Right? All signs are pointing to the end. Right? But what is the Lord waiting for? He's waiting for the builded church. He's waiting for the prepared bride. Right? He's waiting for the built up body of Christ. And we saw yesterday that this bride is prepared as a body. The body of Christ, says it's in Ephesians, says it's the fullness of the one who fills all in all. So we talked about yesterday, we all have a head and we all have a body. And our body is our expression. And the Lord's body should be an expression of all His riches. And when His people enjoy all the unsearchable riches of Christ, we become His fullness. Right? And we saw yesterday, the Lord doesn't want an anorexic bride. What is that? That is a real skinny skeleton. No, the Lord wants a fullness. Right? His body, it should be a fullness, an expression of those who have been enjoying the riches. So we need to consider, are we enjoying the riches? And yesterday, just for a little review of those who weren't here, we saw, well, we not only need to see the goal, but we need to be very practical. Like we talked about the those who get involved with the Olympics, they have a goal. They want to run or swim or whatever they do for the goal. They're going for the goal. But it affects the way they live. Right? It affects their daily life. So we ourselves need to consider, do you want the body of Christ to be built up to be the fullness of the one who fills all in all? We say, yes, we do. Okay, but practically, that means you need to enjoy the riches. Okay, where are they? The riches are in the Word. We need to eat. We need to eat the riches. So this regulates our daily life. We can't just say, I'm for the church, the fullness of the one who fills all in all. But somebody asks you, where are you reading in the Bible? Oh, I don't know. Or did you get revived this morning? Did you touch the Lord? Did you take in the Word? Are you enjoying the riches in your daily life? I'm not too sure about that. How's the Lord going to gain the bride? How's He going to gain the fullness unless His people eat? You've got to eat, right? You've got to enjoy Him. We have to enjoy the unsearchable riches of Christ. So it's very practical. Yesterday we saw there's 7 aspects of the church. We won't go through them all, but the church is so rich in so many different aspects. Right? The church is the body of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ, right? The Lord is coming as a bridegroom. He desires a bride. And the bride is composed of a group of people. And the number one characteristic of these people is that they love Him. The bride loves the bridegroom. One of the worst things to happen in a married life is if only one spouse loved the other and the other one, I don't know. Okay? That's terrible. Should be a mutual love. We need to know the Lord's love to us. And we need to respond by our love to Him. And yesterday we fellowship. How do we respond? We need to open our mouths and tell the Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, I love You. Right? The Lord, the Bible says, the Lord loved the church and He gave Himself up for her. the Lord loves each one of us individually. And we need to know, like in Ephesians, the knowledge surpassing love of Christ. We should know His love. Sometimes the enemy tells us, the Lord is against you. Lord, He's going to judge you. He's not happy with you. I don't know. Okay? Those are all lies. Right? The Lord loves us. Surely the Lord disciplines us, but why does He do that? Because He loves us. Right? The Lord loves us. He loves us individually. He loves the church corporately. And we need to respond to Him just like a husband and wife tell each other frequently, I love you. Right? Yesterday we talked about, you might know that. The husband might know, I know my wife loves me. Okay? But I still like to hear her say that. Right? So we need to speak to the Lord. Lord Jesus, I love you. How about we do that again? Lord Jesus, I love you. How about sisters? Brothers?
Lord Jesus, I love you.
See, we brothers have to learn how to be a bride. Right? We should be a crazy lover. One of the very first conferences I went to was the Crazy Lovers of Jesus. Right? And we started to learn how to love the Lord. And we need to exercise our loving heart, our believing heart. We need to exercise it. Don't let your heart become flabby. Right? Don't let your heart become kind of, the worst case. If you go to the emergency room, the worst is if your heart is like this. That means you're dead. Okay? You need your heart to be very active. Oh, Lord, I love you. Oh, Lord, I love you, Lord. Keep your heart beating. So the church is also a household. It's a family where we all can be related. And we should be related. And each one of us should have very specific companions that we are related to. And the church is the kingdom, where there's a group of people who are not wild, not just doing whatever they please, but are under authority and are listening, especially for the voice that says, no, don't do that, don't say that, don't look at that, don't go there. Okay? Quite often the Lord wants to regulate us. And sometimes the Lord says, do this. Like, pass out his tract. Sometimes we have the speaking, why don't you give out a tract? We think, oh, I don't know where I got that thought. You know? Sometimes the Lord, his name is Lord, right? Speaks to us, and tells us to cooperate with him, to not only negatively to say, stop, don't do that, don't say that word to that brother or sister, but sometimes positively, why don't you go? Get out of your house. Go preach the gospel. Anyway, let's tell you one little story. About a year ago, I got to go to Japan, to the Itaro in Japan. And while I was there, after it was over, I got to meet a brother there who's serving full-time in Tokyo. Okay? And actually, I know him. You know how I know him? Because he was from the Midwest. But do you know what? It's so interesting to me. Do you know how he came about? He was going to a little school in upper Wisconsin. Okay? And there's two brothers were in this small locality, a very small locality. There's probably only about six or eight saints there. And these two brothers, they could think, there's not much happening here. I don't know why we're here. Might as well just sit here and do nothing. And they did that for a long time. Did nothing. Okay? And then eventually, finally, the Lord touched them. Why don't you do something? Why don't you go? The Bible does say, go! Go! Preach the gospel! Okay? So what they did, they decided, these two brothers, and they were not college-age brothers, they were older working brothers. They decided, let's go. One night a week after work, we'll pray together, and we're going. We're going out to preach the gospel. So they went to this little school, had a campus, and they went and preached the gospel. And who did they meet? They met this little Japanese fellow who was not saved. Okay? And they began to preach the gospel to him. And I heard he did not respond that well initially. But they started to make friends with him and invite him over and go visit him. And gradually, little by little, guess what? He got saved. Okay? Then guess what? He got baptized. Then he started meeting in their home meeting. Then gradually, he started meeting with the church in their place. Okay? Then what happened? He graduated. Guess what he did? He went to the full-time training. Then guess what happened? After he was in the full-time training, he began to serve at a university in California for, I think, maybe about 5 years. And then after that, guess what happened? Him and his wife, he got married in the process. Him and his wife decided, we have a burden to go back to our country. So they went back to Japan, and right now they're currently very useful serving ones in the church in Tokyo. Okay? So why I tell you that story is because they're in the kingdom. These brothers were in the kingdom. They're under regulation. What's the regulation? The law of life within them, telling them, go forth. Don't sit in your house. Go forth. Preach the gospel. So they did. Anyway, the church is also the dwelling place of God. So we need to be built up by meeting together. And the church is the corporate warrior. So we need to be empowered. We need to learn to pray corporately. Right? And this is a fight. That's why Paul said, be empowered. We need to be strengthened. Be empowered. Right? Why can we talk so easy and do this so easy and go here and go there and do all these things so easy? But then when it's time to come to pray, we feel, oh, I don't know if I can do that. Seems like every Tuesday night in Chicago, that's the night we pray. It's such a battle. And every time it's time to go to the prayer meeting, it's like, oh boy. It's like getting ready to go to the gym. You know, it's like we know it's going to be an exercise. This is a fight. Okay? So what? We need to be empowered in the Lord. Right? So how can we be empowered? We need to practice in our daily life. We should, all of us, have some that we are making mention of in our prayers individually. It's good to pray and pray for people. Pray for our relatives. Pray for our classmates, our co-workers, our neighbors, our friends. So, anyway, this is our Savior God's desire is that all men would be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. How's this going to happen? He needs a group of people. You know, if you read in the book of Acts, in the very beginning, in the footnotes, Brother Lee said, the Lord was ready to pour out His Spirit, but He waited. What did He wait for? He was waiting for a group of people on the earth to agree with Him, to agree with His promises, and to pray that His promises would be carried out, would be fulfilled. And so when the group of saints began to pray for 10 days, then the Lord carried out His promise and did what He desired. Okay? So sometimes the Lord is so willing. He is waiting to move. But He won't do it. He's just waiting. Is there a group of people who are not indifferent, who just care, come together, fight the battle, come to the prayer meeting, fight the battle to pray for His kingdom? Or do you want to just sit at home, take care of your own things and just live your own life and let the Lord, He promised He'll do it, I guess. Right? We have to fight the battle. We have to be the corporate warrior. Right? So we need to learn in our daily life. We don't have to pray for hours and hours, but it's good to give the Lord a little time every day. We might not even know what to pray, but we can even just pray, oh Lord, what about this one? Lord, this one is not saved yet. Oh Lord, I mention his name. Don't even know how to pray, what to pray. But Lord, what about this name? Right? We can pray. So we should do that. Anyway, last night we saw the church is also a matter of oneness. Right? God is one. His expression should be one. In John 17, his aspiration is one. And the practical working out, there should be, according to the Bible, one church in one city. Right? There should be an expression of this oneness. Right? We don't meet here according to our nationality, according to our race, according to our culture, or according to any preference. We like this kind of practice, so we meet here or there. Right? We're not for those things. The Bible says the church is the one new man, where Christ is all and in all. Right? There is no Jew, no Greek, no this, no that. Right? So the brothers have shared with us, there's no room, right? Whatever you are, there's no room for that, right? What do we need to ourselves? We need the cross, okay? We're not here, you know, in the U.S., sometimes we get burdened to reach more of the local people. That's fine. We should reach the people around us where we live. But I got the help in the last year or so to see we are not here for an American church. We are not. That is not on God's heart. God's heart is the one new man, where there's only Christ. It's not a Chinese church. It's not an American church. It's not a Canadian church. Right? It should not be any of those kind of things. It's where Christ is all and in all. So what kind of church do you go to? We go to where Christ is all. Right? We meet where Christ is all. And what kind of people should we go out and try to gain? We should try to gain human beings. Right? And we should not have preferential eyes. We talked about how sometimes we go preaching the gospel and we are so discerning. And we try to say, maybe this man's open because, wow, he's dressed so nice. He must be a really gentleman. And you find out, you talk to him, he's really mean. Right? And you think, oh, this guy, he looks pretty carefree. Maybe he's not open. I'm sure he's not open. You know. And you talk to him, and you find out, wow, he's so soft. He's so open. Right? So we don't know who's open and who's not, right? The Lord knows whom He's chosen. And not only that, first time I ever heard the gospel, I was a teenager with a group of boys. And this man came around to a McDonald's, and we were hanging out around McDonald's. And this man came to preach the gospel, and me included, guess what we did? We laughed at him. We jeered him. Okay, and we rejected him. Okay, and when we were walking away, I saw this lady, older woman in the car. I'm pretty sure it was his mother. She was weeping. Anyway, I'm pretty sure she's praying, probably praying for him and praying for us while this was going on. Okay, all right, you can say, I rejected. So, everybody who rejects is going to the lake of fire, right? No. Give people a chance. They might reject you today, but tomorrow they might be open. Okay? It took about 5 years or so. About 5 years later, somebody else preached the gospel to me. I was ready and open and receiving, and I got saved. Okay? So you don't know. Even if somebody rejects you today, don't take it personally. They rejected Christ. That's all. And they're not going to the lake of fire necessarily. Give them a chance. And we should leave people. One brother said we should always leave people more pleasant than we found them. So even they reject us, that's okay. Maybe later. You know, maybe I could leave a little literature for you. Maybe later. Okay? So we don't know. The Lord knows. Okay. Anyway, we better come to what we're supposed to share about this morning. Okay, we're on message number 4. And this one, it's called The Way to Build Up the Church, or The Way to Build the Church. And this is very crucial. So we not only need a vision of the church, but we need to take a certain way. So you think about here, this meeting hall we're sitting in. I'm so impressed with this meeting hall. You know, I came here during the Hitero. I got to see this hall the first time. In Chicago, we went through a building process also about 10 years ago and built the hall. And it's a nice, nice meeting hall. And I know the history of what's gone on here and all the troubles that have taken place. And when I came here and saw the hall, of course, the hall is outward. The hall is physical. It's not the church. This is not our church. Right? In Chicago, we put a big sign out front. We don't call it the church in Chicago. The building is not the church. Right? We are the church. So we have a big sign that says, the meeting. No, it doesn't even say the. It says, a meeting place of the church. Right? We are the church. What's this building? It's just a meeting place. But because we're still in the human and the physical realm, we need a meeting place to meet. Right? Especially like on a morning like this morning. Aren't you glad we have a nice meeting place? So, we have a meeting place to build. But you think about it. When the brothers were considering building this, I'm sure there was a certain design and blueprints. And maybe, you know, I'm sure the brothers could tell us hours worth of story about the building process. And another thing that's very crucial is the building materials. Okay? So, I'm sure you couldn't just go down and tell the brothers, I'm for the building up of the meeting hall. Right? I'd like to contribute. I got some wood in my basement. I'll bring it. Right? How about we use this? You say, oh, that's a nice piece of wood. I don't know if it matched this. But no, you can't just bring any materials. There's very specific materials for the building. Okay, so actually, I was considering lately we starting to get into the book of Exodus. And during the training, I bought one of these. I've got a few Bibles already, and I've got the Bible on here. But when this came out, I thought, this is nice. This is pretty light. And I still like to have a paper copy. And so I started reading this morning by morning. Okay, and the footnotes. And I like to underline and really get into it. Okay, well, one thing I noticed just the other day is so interesting. You know, one thing is so helpful about the recovery version is not only you have the Bible, the text, you have the footnotes. You want to get nourished and enjoy the riches of Christ. Get into the footnotes. Right? You just pray, read a couple of verses in the morning and enjoy some footnotes. You will be nourished. Okay? Then, another great treasure we have in the recovery version is the outline of the book. Okay? Do you know what? In Exodus, if you recall, another great treasure we have in this is also we have a subject. The subject. I love the subject. The subjects help you, like when you're getting into all the details, it's like, what is this about? What is this book? What's the main focus of this book? You need to know the subject. Okay? Well, we know the subject of Exodus is that Christ is the redemption, salvation, and supply of God's people, and the means for them to worship and serve God, so that, I like those little words, so that means here comes the purpose. Okay, what is the goal? What's the purpose? So that in Him they may be built up with God together for them and God to meet, communicate, and dwell mutually. So we know that the goal by the end of the book of Exodus, there's a building. There's a building on the earth. What is it? It's the tabernacle. So if you look at the outline of this book, it's so interesting. It begins with being saved. Okay, we all need that kind of a beginning. We need to be saved. Then we need to be led by the Lord, which we are. But then guess what happens? The next portion is on receiving revelation. Revelation. Revelation for what? For the building. Okay? So if you look at the outline, it says the revelation is to receive a vision of the tabernacle and its furniture. So this morning, we're going to talk about the vision. It includes two great things. One is the the building materials. Okay? And the second part of the vision is the building work. Okay? First, like this building here, you have to have the materials. No materials, you can't build. Okay, you have to have the materials first. Okay? But once you got the materials, what good are they if they're just piled up out in the lot? They're just sitting there waiting. Okay? Eventually, they have to be built up to form the building. So there's a work involved. So there's materials involved and there's a work involved. So this morning, that's what we're talking about. The materials and the work. You can say, I thought we were talking about the church. Why are we going back to Exodus? Well, not only Moses was a great builder who received revelation, who had a vision for the building, but the Apostle Paul, he had the same experience, right? He spoke about, you need to be saved. You need to be led by the Lord. You need to begin to experience Christ. But eventually, there's a vision. And the vision is, as a result of these two, guess what comes out? Is the church. The goal is the church. The Lord desires a built-up church, the body of Christ. But the way we take is very important. We have to be very careful what kind of materials you use. Okay? And how we work also is very important. How we build. Okay? So this morning, we want to consider that. So if you look at Roman numeral 1, it says the key factor of how the church will be built up is the inner experience of the indwelling Christ. Okay, there's two very great chapters in the book. You could say, we always talk about there's four books right in the Paul's epistles. It's called the heart of the Bible. Okay, Ephesians is like the heart book, the center of the divine revelation in the Bible is in Ephesians. And within the book of Ephesians, there's two great chapters. One talks about the materials. One talks about the work. Okay, what is it? Ephesians 3 talks about the materials. And Ephesians 4 talks about the work. So we need to consider, where are the materials in Ephesians chapter 3? The materials in Ephesians chapter 3 are all the experiences of Christ. Okay? So sometimes believers get confused. And maybe unbalanced and say, I got saved. I want to work for Christ. Right? I want to have a ministry for Christ. You say, is that scriptural? That is scriptural. The Bible does say, we should all the members should have be a part of the work of the ministry. For what? To build up the body of Christ. But the problem is, some jump to here and forget about here. Okay? Wait a minute. You can say, I'm smart. I'm going to have a ministry because I can know the Bible really easy. So I'm going to have a Bible teaching ministry. You can say, well, I'm not sure that's the right kind of material. And then you can say, somebody says, I can play music. I'm really good. I can play the music and move people and inspire them and make them feel really good. And okay. And actually, I was thinking about this recently. Some even in the church life get distracted and get confused. Okay, you think about it. If you have a little plant here, this plant is something of life. And it needs to grow. Okay? You can take the little plant, maybe it's this one, take a little plant and think, well, you just put it in the environment and give it some music and let it really, woo, you don't get really excited. You know, you say, after a while, the plant probably would be crying out, will you just give me some water? Will you water me? Right? What I really need, you can say, wow, aren't you excited? Aren't you impressed? You know, wow, well, listen to this music. This is going, woo. Okay. Say, hey, what this plant really needs is some sunshine, some light, some water. And recently, we had a college conference in the Midwest, and Brother Ed Marks came and joined us. And I told Brother Ed, you know, after what hardships we passed through about 7 or 8 years ago, we started rebuilding. And I told Brother Ed, I'm so glad, I'm so thankful that now we have a college conference. It's not just shaking around and dancing and music and drama and all this stuff. What we have is not even that exciting. But guess what? We have a brother like Ed Marks come. What does he do? Just water us. Right? And have some sunshine. And some life imparting. Some life dispensing. Causes the growth, the real growth. Okay, so we should not assume just because you have something natural. You know, we have a song, nothing natural does the body life allow. It's not a matter, are you good at this or that? The building material is, in Ephesians chapter 3, the building material is Christ. And not just Christ, but Christ experienced. And Christ enjoyed, and Christ possessed and gained. Okay? Not only the book of Ephesians tells us this. I was so impressed. I came across this footnote the other day. And right at the beginning of this vision concerning the tabernacle, concerning the building, the Lord told Moses to tell all the children of Israel to give a heave offering. Heave means throw something up. Get something up. Heave. Okay? What does that imply? The offering must be in resurrection. Must be in ascension. It's not something natural. Right? And what was included in this heave offering? It included gold, silver, bronze, something blue, purple, some fine linen, some oil, all these different, you can read it in Exodus chapter 25. So I'd like to read you just one little footnote. It says, the fact that the materials for the building of the tabernacle were offered to God by his people as a heave offering signifies that the church is built up not with any natural materials, but with the very Christ who has been gained, possessed, and enjoyed and experienced by God's people in resurrection and in the heavenlies. So, what does this show us? If you want to be for God's goal for the building of the church, you need to take heed how you build. And the first thing is how you build is you need to have the right materials. You need some real gold. Okay? Not something of earth. Okay? Not wood, hay, and stubble. You need gold. Gold is divine nature. Where is that? We are partaking of the divine nature through all the promises in the Word. Right? It's not through your smarts. Right? It's not through your natural ability to play music. It's divine nature comes through the Word. Okay? You need the experience of silver. Silver is redemption. We need to experience the redeeming Christ. Right? We need the blue. Do you have some blue? Do you have any blue material? Blue is heavenly. We need to enjoy the heavenly Christ. Do you have some red? Red is the redeeming blood. We should have so much experience. Why? Because we're such sinners. Every time we sin, we should come to the Lord, confess our sins, enjoy His forgiveness, His cleansing blood. What is that? You get a little bit more red, more material. Okay? You need some precious stones. Do you have some precious stones to heave offer? You need it. You have to have this kind of materials or the church will never be built up. Okay? Actually, the brothers gave one word. I couldn't understand it for a while. They said, growth equals building. Oops, B-U-I-L-D-I-N-G. Okay, building. Growth equals building. How's that? Okay, or another one is Christ equals the building. Okay, how's that? How's Christ equal the building? Well, we're talking about this. You need to experience Christ. In Ephesians 3, that Christ would grow in you. This growth produces the real building material. Right? And we need Christ. Christ Himself is the building. He is the building material. So we need to experience Him, enjoy Him in our daily life, possess Him, and gain Him. So if you look on the outline, A says in Ephesians 3, Paul's prayer is for the saints to experience Christ for the church. Right? Why should you experience Christ? Well, number one, Christ is so enjoyable. Christ satisfies. Christ makes me feel good. That's all true. But the goal is we experience Christ for the church. Okay? So how do we experience Christ? And like Ron Kangas always says, three comes before four. You can't do four first. You can't start working and building if you don't have three. So you have to check. What's in chapter three? Chapter three is experience. How do we experience Christ? We need to have our inner man, our human spirit, which is regenerated by the Spirit and indwelt by Christ. This spirit needs to be strengthened. Okay? Sometimes we might not realize, but quite often in the church life, the church is weak. The saints individually, we saints, sometimes are weak. Right? Oh, I can't pray. I can't prophesy. can't preach the gospel, visit somebody, oh, I don't think I can do that. Okay, whoa. You say, you're weak. We need to be strengthened. We should pray, Lord, strengthen me. Strengthen me with might. Strengthen me by your Spirit. Strengthen me into the inner man. Okay, then what? We should, in order to exercise our spirit to pray, we need to repent, to turn our mind to the Lord, have a change of mind. So sometimes you might think, oh, that sounds pretty radical to tell people repent. Right? Actually, we need to tell ourselves, we need to repent. Sometimes we're dead. We're far off. Our experience is so short. We don't have much blue to offer. Something so heavenly because we're wrapped up so much on all the earthly, all the things that occupy us in our daily life. Where's the blue? Where's the heavenly portion? Okay? So we need to pray, Lord, strengthen me. And Lord, I repent. I repent for being so occupied with my car, with my house, with my wife, with my children, with my grandchildren, with this, with that, with all, everything. Okay? We need to take care of all the things in our human life. But in the process, we should gain Christ. So sometimes we need to repent, turn our mind to the Lord, have a change in our mind. It says, number two, when we turn our mind to the Lord, our conscience shows us how we are wrong with the Lord, so we need to confess. We shouldn't deceive ourselves. We shouldn't try to hide our condition. We shouldn't beat around the bush. When we sin, we should pray, Lord, shine on me. I acknowledge my sin. I acknowledge I'm wrong, Lord. I'm wrong. I'm sorry with you in this matter or that matter. I confess my sin. Lord, wash me in your blood. I want to be forgiven and cleansed in your blood. And in that process, you gain more red, more scarlet. And then you have something genuine to offer for the building. Okay, then when we turn our mind to the Lord, our conscience shows us how we are wrong with the Lord, so we need to confess. Okay, through our repenting and confessing, the two main parts of our heart, our mind and our conscience, spontaneously are opened. Then when the gateway is open, the Spirit is free, so the Lord is able to strengthen our spirit and what? Spread into our heart. So this weekend we sang that song, Into My Heart. Okay? Sometimes, maybe some of us older saints, we sang some of these songs so many times, maybe it becomes a little common, where you don't even maybe memorize the words, you don't even think about it anymore. We should consider. Some of these hymns are so rich, right? The Lord wants to come into my heart. Lord Jesus, spread into my heart today. Right? Make home in my heart, Lord Jesus. So we should pray Ephesians 3:17, right? That the Lord would make home in all our heart. Our heart is the totality of all our inward parts and the center of our inward being. Therefore, when Christ makes his home in our heart, he controls the entire inward being and supplies and strengthens every inward part with himself. Okay, how about sisters? Read deep. Okay, brothers, eat. Altogether, F. Okay, so I'm sure that we could get into this and spend a lot of time, and maybe each of us personally. Just go back to Ephesians chapter 3 and look at it with this view. What is Ephesians 3? It's on the experience of Christ, enjoying Christ, and gaining and possessing Him in order that you might have Him as the building materials. Okay, but we have to go on to Ephesians chapter 4. 4 does come after 3, right? And we shouldn't leave it out. We shouldn't leave it out of the Bible. Some of us, we didn't love chapter 3, and we like to remain in chapter 3. Okay? Chapter 3 is wonderful, and we should spend a lot of time in chapter 3. But we should not forget, there is a chapter 4. Okay? What is chapter 4? It means work. Okay? You can say, work? I don't like to work. Okay? A lot of older saints like to retire. Okay? A lot of younger saints like to stay in school forever so they don't have to go to work. Right? But eventually, work is a part of human life. And guess what? Work is a part of the Christian life. Work is a part of the church life. Say, well, we don't talk about that too much. Actually, we do. Ephesians chapter 4. What is our work? Our work is the building up of the body of Christ. So if you read Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 12. It says that all these gifts, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, shepherds, and teachers, they're all given for the perfecting of the saints. For what? Unto the work of the ministry. Who's he talking about? The saints are those who are perfected. That's what the Bible says, verse 12. For the perfecting of who? The saints. And what do the saints do? Unto the work of the ministry. And what should be the result? Unto the building up of the body of Christ. So, all of us saints, we should be receiving from all the gifts. That's why we like, in the Midwest area, we've been practicing this the last 8 years or so. We kept telling ourselves, we need to have the brothers coming in frequently. Circulation in the body. We need the gifts. Come, minister to the church so that we all can be perfected, right? For what? Not so that we can be so perfect. No, we're perfected so that we can work. Okay? Who builds the church? Okay? The Lord said, I will build the church. That's true. The Lord is the builder. And Apostle Paul said he was a master builder. Okay, but if you study the Bible, you find out the Lord is not doing it directly. And even the gifted ones, the apostles even, are not building the church directly. What are they doing? They're perfecting the saints. So whose responsibility is it to build? It's ours. Right? You might think, well, Ron Kangas, he should build the church. Right? Brother Ed Marks, he's a builder. Okay? Or this brother or that brother. Sorry, I shouldn't even mention all names. But we might think, oh, this brother or that brother, wow, you should build. Actually, you should build. And that's not just a good idea. That's what the Bible says. The saints should do the work of building. Okay? So whose responsibility? Whose responsibility is it to build the church in Toronto? Is it the apostles, the prophets, evangelists? No. It's the saints. It's all the ones who live here in this city. Right? Should do the work of building. Same in Montreal. Same in Brampton. Same in, was it Hamilton, right? Same in all these cities. Same, hopefully, in Mississauga. Right? The church will be built up. Who's going to do it? Has to be the saints who live there. Right? Who come together and do the building work. Okay, so very quickly, just want to look at how do we build. Okay? Maybe I'll put it over here. We all are clear, hopefully. What is the goal? The goal is the building up of the church. How do we work? We work by, maybe you've heard this before, B N P B. Okay? It's a nice acronym, but what does it mean? Okay? Number one, B is begetting. We should work by begetting. That's crucial. You should ask yourself, are you doing this work? You shouldn't say, that's the work of the evangelist. No, it's not. It's the work of the evangelist to perfect each one of us to do that work. Who should be passing out tracts? You should ask yourself, is it the full-time trainees who come to the sewing trip? That's their job. They're in the training. They have to do this. They have to go out and pass out tracts. That's part of their learning, part of their training. Maybe. But if you excuse yourself, sorry, that's against the Bible. The Bible doesn't say the building up of the church is by the full-time trainees. It does not say that. It says the building up of the church is through the saints. That means you. That means me. But here's the problem. Sometimes, you know, think who should go. Sometimes we like the one in Matthew chapter 25 who get the one talented and we just bury it and make an excuse. Okay? So you know what the excuse is? It's very easy to have excuses. Okay, maybe all you brothers could just stand up right here. Could you stand up, please? And turn around, face everybody. Okay. You say, Brother Joe here, got to learn his name over the weekend. I say, Joe, he's working. So he says, I'm pretty busy. I got a full-time job, you know. I'm not a student any longer. I'm not on a campus. So I don't have time to preach the gospel. Okay, Joe, sit down. Okay, the next brother, he might say, are you married yet? Sounds like something's in process. Okay, you might say, I'm kind of got a little occupation right now. I got another interest. Okay, I got a job and I got, you know, some other considerations. I'm kind of busy. Really don't have much heart for it anyway. So, not me. Sit down. Okay, this brother, are you in school? See? He's too old. This brother, are you working? Okay, you're working. Are you married? Do you have any children? Nope, not yet. Okay, he's got a wife to take care of. He probably has to go grocery shopping, right? He's got to do laundry with his wife. He's got to go take care of this. Do you have a house yet? Oh, he's got a house. All right, do you have a car? Does your wife have a car? Two cars. He's really occupied. Sit down. This brother, you can just tell right away, he's too old. This brother, are you working? Not yet. He's in between jobs. Are you in between jobs? Or are you working? You're a student. Wow, we found a student. Okay. But how long have you been saved? 3 months. So you could say, do you know the Bible very well? Yeah. Okay. Have you read the whole Bible? The whole Bible? Have you read? In Matthew. Okay. So he could say, hey, give me a break. I'm kind of new. I don't know the Bible that well yet. I don't know the truth. I haven't even read through the whole Bible. So maybe he could say, oh, sorry, it's not me. Okay? Sorry, brother, I'm not saying that's the case, but let's just say. Okay, thank you. Okay? Now, you say, what's your excuse? Everybody, we all got an excuse. Every time I go to the campus, I always feel like, what am I doing here? Look at my head. Keep telling my wife tells me she's getting a few gray hairs. I said, well, at least you got some. Okay? I'm too old. I'm too old to go to the campus. But guess what? Sometimes I just say, I just don't stand with it. I just got to go. I'm going anyway. I'm going. I'm the wrong one. I am the wrong one. Should be the young people. Preach the gospel on their own campus. In fact, that's why I tell them all the time. It's your campus. You should be burdened. College students, be burdened from your own campus. Don't wait for the full-timers. Full-timers are getting too old, like me. Okay? Sometimes I go to the students. Actually, it's about 20 years ago. I started realizing the students started calling me sir. I thought, oh my goodness, I'm in trouble. But anyway, so we got the same group of brothers. Stand again. Okay, maybe turn around. What do you say like this? Joe said, I'm working, but I have some time. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I have experienced Christ. I can give life to somebody. Okay? And the next brother says, I was chosen and I was set and the Lord placed me here. I'm going to preach the gospel. And this brother says, I don't care how busy I am. I've got a job, but I've got some time. I've got co-workers. I got people around me. I'm going to pray for them and give them out a few tracts. And this brother says, my wife and I are going to go together one night a week. We're going to go out and visit people and preach the gospel. And this brother says, like me, I don't care how old I am. I'm going. I'm going forth. And this brother says, I don't care how new I am. I'm born again. Christ lives in me. I have Christ to give to others. I don't care if I don't know the whole Bible yet. I know Christ. I'm going forth. What a difference, right? Okay, thanks, brother. So we should beget, should hand out tracts. You don't have to know the whole Bible. You know what you have to do, handing out tracts? Just try. Some of us, it's a little difficult. Smile. Give out a tract. Okay? You don't have to say anything. Sometimes in Chicago, we get people coming off the train. Don't even say a thing. You don't have time to say anything. People are just going by so quick. You just smile. Here, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. You know, just give it to them quickly. Okay? But sometimes you can talk to somebody and share with them and ask them, have you received Christ? Are you born again? Have you been forgiven of your sins, cleansed in the blood? We should bring people to be born of God. Then what? We should nourish them or feed them. If you declared this morning, Lord Jesus, I love you. The Lord says, if you love me, feed my sheep. Feed. Okay? So we should ask each other, who are you feeding? Who are you feeding? Okay? We all should be feeding somebody. You think, I don't know the Bible that way. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. You know what I tell the saints? Two qualifications. Number one, do you care for anybody? Okay? Like brothers? Is there any younger brothers around? Right? Do you care about them? How about the high school brothers? Or how about the older saints? Do you care about the college age? How about the college age? Do you care about the junior high? I served the junior high for probably more than 20 years. I love those kids. They're all peculiar. They're all strange. But they're wonderful. Okay? And it's good to have a heart for these kids. A whole church. The church should care for the church. The older ones for the younger ones. Even the younger ones can care for the older ones. Okay? That's one qualification. Just care. Do you have a heart to care for anybody? Okay? Number two is, can you read? Okay? It doesn't say, do you know the Bible inside out? Are you a Bible teacher? Are you skilled? Do you know all the truths? Do you know how to communicate? Do you know how to be so impressive and so this? No, you don't need to know any of that stuff. Can you read? If you can read, get together with the one you care for. Open your Bible. Sit down with them and say, hey, you want to read a chapter together? How about we read a chapter together? And you read, and then you come to a little point and you say, hey, well, let's read that little footnote on this one. And you read the little footnote. And then what? Then just talk about it a little bit. Tell them what you like about it, what you enjoy. And then that pretty soon they'll start telling you what they enjoy. And guess what happens? Nourishment. Feeding. Okay? Mothers know. Even little girls know. They just love to play with the dolls. Get the little milk bottle. What for? Feeding. Right? You don't have to be the milk. We're not the milk. The milk's in the word. The milk is in the footnotes. But you have to get together with somebody and put it in their mouth. Okay? How do you do that? Just read with them. Let them get it into there. Start to drink it. Whoa. Like Peter said, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word. Get together with a new one. Even you could be saved like this brother. 3 months. He could get a brand new friend. Say, I don't know the Bible too much, but I know you need to be saved like me. You need to receive Christ. You want to pray? Lord Jesus, come into me. Okay, you're saved. Now what? How about we read the Bible together? I don't know too many. I don't know what it says too much. I'll learn with you. Let's just get together and read the Bible. We nourish. Just nourish each other. So don't excuse, oh, I don't know the Bible. I haven't been in the church that long. I'm not that mature. I haven't been to the full-time training. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too busy. I'm too this. Right? We just need to rise up. Do the work. The work of the ministries, all the saints, and then the church will be built up. Okay, then what? Then perfecting. Where does that take place? Mostly in the group meetings, in the homes, and it involves teaching. Okay, so how about in the group meetings? One very key element in the group meetings is the truth. Okay, sometimes we might get together with a group of saints on a Friday night or something and feel like, oh, the week is over. Let's relax. Let's have dinner together. Let's socialize. Let's just see how each other's doing. Let's have a real cherishing time. That's all fine, but it's only one side. Should be the cherishing and the nourishing, the perfecting. What does that mean? Every group meeting should have some truth. Should have some content. Like in my house on Friday night, we go over, not too much. It's not a training meeting, right? It's not a conference meeting. It's not even a Lord's Day morning meeting. It's an informal gathering, small, in a home. Like Brother Minoru has told us, you can call it a small group because it's small. You can call it a home group because it's in a home. You can call a vital group because hopefully it's vital, right? You can call it all kinds of things, but what should be taking place is some perfecting. There should be some truth. Even it doesn't have to be a lot, but there should be some content of truth coming out and getting into one another in the group meetings through perfecting. Okay, then the last one is building. And that is mainly through prophesying. Okay? And the problem is, sometimes we do the same thing. We have the same excuses. I can't speak that well. English is not my primary language. You know, I kind of stumble. I don't know the truth that well, and I can't seem to put words together right. And I'm not sure if it was really edifying to the other saints, and you know, blah, blah, blah. We just keep going on and on. Excuse yourself, you know, you can't do it, so sit down, okay? Actually, it's not true. What does the Bible say? All can prophesy. All can prophesy. And hopefully it's not perfect prophecy. We don't need perfect prophecy. We need just, say, to offer a little portion of what they're enjoying. And even we teach junior hires. We always tell them, try to have one point. Okay, one point. Sometimes saints stand up to prophesy and they got 18 points. And it's like, what is the point? Okay. Try to have one point. Okay? Do you have one verse or one portion from the ministry to back it up? Right? So you can say, I was impressed that Exodus tells us that we need to offer a heave offering to the Lord with the materials for the building. And I find this in chapter 25 where they offered gold and silver and bronze and blue and purple and all these things. I found it in the Exodus chapter 25. And maybe like I just did this morning, you read a little footnote, right? The ministry brought out, this shows that we need to experience Christ and offer Him for the building. Okay? And then we tell the young people, maybe you have one little prayer at the end. One point, one portion, one prayer. Okay? So at the end you say, Lord Jesus, I want to have more experience of You to offer up for the building of Your dwelling place on the earth. And that's it. And then sit down. That'd be so edifying. Right? Be so encouraging. So building. Anyway, let's read the focus together on the bottom. We'll stop. The way to build the church. Okay, how about we just take this last part here, a little building prophesying, okay? Do you have one point to share with us? Do you have a little portion? Do you have a little aspiration or a little prayer at the end? Why don't you come up? And that we all might be encouraged, we all might be built up. We need to practice, we need to fight for the universal priesthood of all the believers. Right? We all can do the work of ministry for the building up of the body of Christ. Okay, so how about we start?